today, what this one has, not the treasure of not limiting God, not limiting God. Jesus Christ came in Matthew 28. You can turn it there if you want to. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18 through 20. And as he spoke to the disciples, the first church that was gathered there, when you find the place there, Matthew 28, if you can, stand with me as for the reading in honor of God's word. And they were there. They had the doors closed out of fear for the Jews. They thought, well, they've crucified our Lord and Savior. They're going to come after us. So they were in fear. And as he appeared unto them, he spoke in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and God, we thank you that you haven't left us here without a purpose, that we are here to be a witness to those around us, to those in our area, and around the world. And God, I thank you that you have provided the means of doing this through our prayers, through our witness, also through our giving. Lord, we just pray that we would be that Christian, that disciple of yours that can be used of you for your honor and glory. And I pray this morning also for any here that know you not as Savior, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts, that they would realize that today is a day of salvation if they so respond to you and accept you as Lord and Savior. Speak to our hearts today. Help us to have open hearts for you and full of faith for all that you can do and will do in our midst. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you saw in the video a lot of things that we were privileged to be involved in. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for Christ, we could have done nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. And it's really all about him. He is there with us unto the end of the world. And God specializes in things called impossible. And you know, God's work done in God's way will not lack God's supply. We have a God who is able. We talked about that in the Sunday school. Some people think that you cannot do it unless we add to what God said. Do it different ways. But I tell you, God's plan, given in his word, is truly sufficient. In Psalm 78, I'm going to go in several verses here in Psalm 78, is a recounting of God's dealings with Israel, particularly of their dealings, God's dealings with Israel in the desert, in the, as God called them out. And, you know, when you think about Israel in the desert there, think about what all they had experienced and God even bringing them out of Egypt. I mean, turning the water into blood. Think about the 10 plagues that God did, the killing of the firstborn, of parting the Red Sea, letting them, and you got to think about this, at least 2 million people going across that Dead Sea on dry land. Amazing. And then God using that same Dead Sea corridor to destroy the armies of the Pharaoh. I mean, they had seen miraculous things in the years prior to their going into the desert. But they had a problem. We're going to hear in Psalm 78, read several verses here. In verse 5, talks about that. For he, talking about God, established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children And you know, today we have also the Word of God that's committed to us. And it is the parents' responsibility to give this to their children. Now, the church is a big help in doing this. Sunday school is good at that. But you got to think about all the hours of the week that our children and young people are set out in schools, in different areas, and also in the internet, different things. They need to have control of that also. And there are ways to take charge of it. And they need the input of their parents. They need the testimony of their parents. Probably the one reason that more young people are lost from staying in church, staying serving God, is basically a lot of it because the parents have not been as committed disciples of Christ as they should be. It's important for us as parents to be set a good example, and we will answer to God for that. So here he established a testimony, and he commanded our parents that they should make them known to our children. We need to do that. Then we begin verse 14 here in this, verse 13. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. Here they are, 2 million people out in the desert, and God can, they said they're complaining because they don't have anything to drink. And so they complain to God, we don't have anything to drink. And God can break a big rock and bring water out for them. See, we have a God who's able. And you say, well, of course they complained, they didn't have anything to drink. You know, if God's going to supply, we need to thank God. Thank God that He will, that He is faithful, that we need to show faith even in the midst of our difficulties and challenges of life. Thank God that God is able to take us through, and He will provide for us. That shows faith, and that enables God to do more. So here they're talking about He did all these things, miracles that they experienced actually on a daily basis. They went out there in the morning, and God had showered down the manna to feed them in the night. Every day they experienced a miracle of God. But read here further in verse 40. In 40s. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. You think about the 12 spies that they sent out to go over into the promised land. Now that promised land had been promised by God over hundreds of years. First to Abram, and then to Isaac, and again to even Jacob, the supplanter. God talked about how that he was going to give this land to the people, to this nation. God had planned on giving that to them. And they came in Numbers 13 when God says, go over into the land, claim it, come out. And the 12 came back. 10 of them gave a bad report. He says, why, their towns are walled up and there's giants in the land. They even said, why, we looked at them, we looked in their sight that we were like grasshoppers. And says, we were like that in our own sight compared to these big people. You see, you can have a big enemy. You can have a big problem. But we don't have any enemy. We don't have any problems bigger than our God. You know, that's one of our problems is our God's just not big enough. I think if we could talk about how big we thought God was, and the greatest concept that you can have of God, of His ability, of His faithfulness, and we'd all be short of truly how great God is. We have a wonderful God, a faithful God, whose promise to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. And we need to realize today that we have a great God like that. Now, being ignorant of God's will and God's power and God's word is a big problem for us. In Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, and they were actually the Jewish, some of the Jewish religious people. And he said, that ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And that's two areas that we will also be in error, as I said. We'll be in error if we don't know the scriptures. I tell you what, we need to be people of the book. We need to be constantly. Every year I read through my Bible. And of course, much more study than that. But this, we need to have that. The word of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need to be full of the word of God. That's what will build up our faith. And faith in that, and be in prayer. Realizing the power of God. Is there anything too hard for God? The God's word says no. We come and say, oh yeah, God can do this, that, and the other, but not where I'm living. I tell you what, God knows exactly where we're living. He knows our address, he knows our need, and he will provide as we believe in him and trust him. He will supply. In December of 1971, we came to Germany. We need to know, need to practice obedience and by faith. God can and God is faithful. William Carey went to India as the first modern-day missionary, landed in Calcutta in November of 1793. One thing he said, a statement, it says, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. You say, well, I'm just an average individual. I've got my problems. I had a quote I used in another sermon. It was from Theodore Roosevelt. He was a great and very faithful, full of really great, what I call it, adventure for God. He's the one that led the armies up San Juan Hill in the attack of Cuba. Many things he did. But he was a very sickly person, a weak person. He said, I am but an average person with average abilities. He says, but I work harder than the average. And you know, as we come and go in about the work of God with a vigor, with a really challenge. I know Sandy and I, as we went to Bible college, we had some things and we talked about it and said we didn't want to be just average Christians. We wanted to be true disciples. We wanted to be truly used of God. And if that's our attitude, if that's your attitude, I don't care what your history's been, you start really determining to serve God and to step out for God and to be faithful to God. God will use us. God will provide. God cleanses, God forgives, and God uses us as we yield ourselves and attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Our story is really his story. He moved us by faith to Germany in 1971. In July of 1983, we returned. We came back due to some health problems in 1979. 1983, we returned and started with one woman convert who was married to a lost man. By the way, she got sick. She's now in glory. Her husband got saved 2 weeks prior to her death. I tell you, you see many things. There's so many stories we could tell about this. In 1995, we organized the Bible Baptist Gemeinde upon the leadership of our home pastor, and God blessed us with more men. It started out with more women than men in our ministry, and they prayed. The women prayed, and God gave us men. We grew. In 1999, God moved us to purchase the building in Bassenheim. Now, it was talked there that the sellers were both of them Catholic. In this village, about 3,000 people lived there were also well over 90% Catholic. The only Catholic church in the town was a Catholic church. And so we came, and here was the building that we purchased from him was the multipurpose building for the town. And God moved his heart to want to rent it to us. At first it was advertised to be rented. And he wanted to rent it to us. And when we saw the building, it was a big hall, and there weren't any Sunday school rooms. There wasn't anything. It was a small kitchen, but there just wasn't room for a church. And we saw that, and said, well, we can't just rent it. We have to build Sunday school rooms, and we'd also build a fellowship hall on top of that. And he said, well, I'll sell it to you. I said, well, if we purchase the building, we'd have to also stay in the older place that we were renting to hold our services in, because it's going to take almost a year, to do all the construction necessary. And so ultimately, this Catholic man with his Catholic wife, and by the way, his Catholic wife wasn't nominal. She was a real, a strong and very active Catholic woman. They even held communion, whatever they call it, for the Catholic Church. And they were very involved in the community. Well, the community was in an uproar. In Germany, a Baptist is more of a cult than the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. And this is a strong Catholic. And Catholics, by the way, are stronger there than they are here in America. But anyway, so there was a big uproar in that town. They were getting all kinds of flack from all kinds of areas about them selling it to this sect, to this cult. And so they said, well, he says, I'll tell you what, we'll ask your brother. Her brother was a Catholic priest. And so they called up her brother and said, is it okay to sell the building to the Baptists? And this Catholic priest said, well, sure. He says, Baptists are good people. I'll tell you, he was used to some of the ecumenical Baptists that they have in Germany, in Europe. And there's not an ecumenical bone in my body. But God had that all in control. We got the loan to purchase the building from a German bank. I mean, God just worked every part of that, and he let us have that building to do construction in it for 1 year without taking 1 cent. You got to think about this. That you're talking about thousands of dollars that he lost that he could have had for income or sales to anybody else for a whole year because he wanted us. You see, God moves things. You attempt things for God, expect great things from God. That's a God thing. We had to have an architect to draw up the design for our building and had to get that approved. And he came, and we had two crews actually from our home church come over to do construction. And I'll tell you some of this because it's amazing. He came and he could see that all that our American men knew how to do was 2x4s and sheetrock. Well, we had to lay brick. We had to lay block because it had to carry weight above it. And so he said, he provided, his architectural company provided bricklayers, the laborers, to do that work. And all we had to do is sign a affidavit that they had donated that labor. There's so many things God moved on this hand and that hand to make it possible. And that's one thing we were able to do in other churches and other missionaries, to encourage them also to go out and to purchase a building and go by faith and see how God will provide. The church in the Sox in Poland, live outside of Warsaw, after that, they were able to purchase the building they're in. There's things that God did. Praise God. And expect great things from God. Yes, God shall supply our need. And as the pastor said, read the verses from Ephesians 3 and verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He wants the glory of providing for us as we go forth to do great things for him. We need to make God's battles your battles. You see, when the Goliath came, and he was really ridiculing Israel, Israel was totally under the domination of the Philistines prior to what came forth with David and Goliath. I mean, it was so bad, they had the control of the smiths, or the fact that only, at one point, only King Solomon and his son Jonathan were the only ones that even had swords. They were under the heel of that. And that Goliath came forth and he spoke ridicule to Israel. He says, you're just nothing. He says, you don't have anybody can even fight against me. And everybody was looking at how great a fighter he was, his strength, his ability. This is, well, we couldn't fight him. And they all thought how big he was. I think David, a shepherd boy, he says, he's such a big target, I can't miss. You see, we need to realize with God, all things are possible. And we don't have any enemy. I don't care if it's a government, whatever, that can stand against God. You plus God makes a majority in your life. And God, help us to be full of faith. Now, he is the one that causes us to triumph. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, God's word tells us, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. God causes us to be triumphant. We may go through difficult things, but I guarantee that even you look at the cross of Christ as he died upon the cross. Surely Satan was saying, boy, I've got him now. But you know, that was the greatest victory. I mean, he gave himself over to be crucified, took years and my sins upon him on the cross. But I'll tell you what, that was the point, the step for the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He defeated Satan, brought him an open shame. And I tell you, we are able to have a victory today because of the greatest victory of Christ over death. And it was his greatest defeat, dying upon the cross, that worked the greatest victory. Yes, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, or verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. We can limit God's blessings and victories by indifference. Say, well, there's no difference. We can be also a lack of faith, by disobedience, by selfishness. We can do all these things that we want to do and let the work of God suffer. And or we can come by faith and be used of God. If we do so, God will not be glorified as God wants to be in every one of our lives. Souls will be lost and go to hell. And see, we will suffer personally the loss of blessings. Going back to Psalm 78, and I'm going to read verses 40. As that's just talking about Israel in the desert, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods, and they could not drink. All the things that God did in that, they'd forgot that. We need to come and realize God wants to work miracles today, and God is able. I tell you, we've seen it in our lives, how God has worked in this. Adoniram Judson, at one part in his life, he was a missionary in what is now, I think, Burma. He was in prison for the gospel. He'd lost one wife. He'd lost children due to the sickness and problems. And he was in prison in stocks and bonds. And there was also another prisoner there next to him that knew that he was a missionary. And this missionary, this other prisoner, turned to him and says, "How are the prospects of missions in Burma now?" And the answer that he brought, "They are as bright as the promises of God." You've got problems and difficulties in your life. What's the prospect of God's grace and work in your life? They're as bright as the promises of God. Because this world may say and bring, you know, Satan is a bringer of fear. He controls people through fear. And it's important for us to realize that Satan is a liar. Satan is defeated. And I tell you what, we are victors in Jesus Christ today. God, help us to see yourself. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, I tell you, being baptized, being a member, I tell you, no Baptist church can save you. I tell you, I don't care what church it is. Nobody can save you. Only Jesus Christ is the one that died and was buried and rose again and can save our lives. He paid the price for our sins upon the cross of Calvary through his precious blood. And that offer, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul." You can find your rest and your peace in Jesus Christ today. And I beg you today to come and to answer God's call, to Christ's invitation. I tell you, we have a promise of God for all eternity, and it works today in our lives. God, help us to come and to be faithful to God, to grow in faith and in obedience to God. Let's look to the Lord now in prayer. Our Lord and God, we come today. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, you came and lived in this wicked world. You took flesh and blood on. You fought with the devil. You won the victory. And God, we're thankful that you have the victory of resurrection and defeat of death. Lord, I thank you today for your blessings in our midst. You know our needs. Increase our faith, God, every one of us, oh God, to look unto you and to give you the glory. And I pray for that soul without Christ that they might come today and be saved. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor?